show you something. If I can find it. Oh, quit it. Not the one I want. I just wanted to read you. There it is. The leader of Israel says no international pressure will change Israel's determination to defeat Hamas. Our battle is your battle. The next article. Northern border heats up. Alert sirens. Anti-tank missile fired into Israel. IDF responds with artillery into Lebanon. Day 37, IDF will evacuate babies from Shifa Hospital, provide safe passage routes from Gaza hospitals. What else? Biden administration asks for clarification. A Netanyahu statement, Israel will continue security control in the Gaza Strip. Why don't you just butt out? It's pathetic. Anyway, okay, enough of that. Back to where we were. Point here that we made with, from first session. We'll move on to point nine. The repudiation of the prophets, Jesus Christ, as Messiah, and the persecution of his followers, and the perversion of the law into an instrument of salvation, led to the third Roman dispersion. Okay? And those scriptures are pretty straightforward in that connection. Let's move on. See, this is what ought to be encouraging to a believer who is informed, because these are not things that people readily would know, obviously. And even those in the world who could observe these things would not draw these conclusions that we have. Israel's absence from the land resulted in cursing on the land. It wasn't just, it almost sounds like on top of everything else, this was done. Leviticus 26, 31. God is speaking here under the fifth cycle. I will lay waste your cities as well and make your sanctuaries desolate, and I will not smell your soothing aromas. In other words, you can go through the motions and offer up the sacrifices all day long, and it doesn't honor me, because it's ritual without reality. I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle in it will be appalled over it. It almost seems like it's not just another area that people left and got overgrown and looked bad. They had them shaking their heads. Because the enemies and the people around the world, but way back, they knew that these people were espousing the fact that they were God's chosen people. You, however, I'll scatter among the nations. This was not true among the first and second dispersions. Well, I guess the Assyrian Jews wound up here and there, but the Babylonian ones went to Babylon and came back. It's the final dispersion. This is the biggie. The one that has all these Jews out there today running scared because of the anti-Semitism that's come out strong and hard against them. They don't feel comfortable going to their college, their school. They don't feel comfortable walking, even if they can be identified as Jewish by themselves out in the streets. They don't feel comfortable wearing, you know, that hat they wear out in public. Some of them won't wear it. Anyway, acts of anti-Semitism are going through the roof in France, London, New York City, with all the PLO the dummies out in the street. I have to laugh when I see the PLO flag and the gay flag together. Just, you're so stupid. You try to take that flag into Gaza with you. They will cut you to limb to limb. Just say you're gay. See what the Gazans do to you. The Hamas. See, that this is just this gross ignorance. You can't talk to anyone like this. Who attacked who? And what was the nature of this attack? And like I said for first session, what they did to these civilians, from babies up the ladder, cut them to pieces, threw their body parts in the air, high-fiving each other. It's on their body cams. We got some of the dead Hamas terrorists. We got their body cams. We got all the evidence. And too bad for the people in Gaza that have these people ruling over them. Too bad for any country that has a corrupt leadership and it suffers in time of war. And civilians die. And Israel's making a big effort to see that they can minimize that by telling them to go south. No, we're not going to stop because another baby died. However, I'll scatter you among the nations. This is the phenomena, the Jewish phenomena. What other people do you know is scattered all over the nations? Now, at this late date, some of the nations that had Jews in them, there's virtually none anymore because they went back to Israel. I think the Jews from Yemen back in the day were they got them out, if I'm correct. And they said they were characterized by that they were petite people. They were small, typically, not large. Or even, and got them out. I'll scatter you among all the nations, worldwide. And as I've told you over and over again, I've seen Jews of all, of much of the different races. They look just like a, but they're a Jew. They got genetics. They got their DNA. And then when you're out there, guess what I'm going to do with you, among other things? I'm going to draw out a sword after you. Whatever all Hitler did in Germany, I'm going to draw out a sword after you. As your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste, it's going to sit there and sit there and sit there. Interesting that nobody, but if someone did this, then they would have to override the Bible, the curse. The curse on the real estate. A land that was highly praised by God to the Jews who were coming up out of Egypt, and the spies went in and came back and they concurred. Even though Canaanites held it, it was a productive land, beautiful. It was a pretty place when we were there. In 99, because the Jews are back. But with the Jews out, I don't care who, anyone who tried to go in there, it was frustrating. The British were the last, and before that, the British kicked out the last of the Ottoman Empire, Turkey. The curse allowed for various peoples to enter and settle in the land. I guess people live anywhere, won't they? B, it prohibited agricultural development and beautification. This curse. The land lay fallow during the 70-year Babylonian captivity. They came back to a mess that had sat there for 70 years. and had to start over. Of clearing it, cleaning it up, start building homes and a temple. That's the first thing they did. They started working on their temple. Looks like it's the last thing they're going to do this time. But things have got to get to the place where the Jews will be free to put that temple up. Oh yeah, people will be screaming around the world. There's a number of ways that God can facilitate this, and so we just have to wait and watch the details, how it pans out. But he's got a lot of things up his sleeve. An earthquake, it can wipe out buildings so fast. There is no mosque. The Jews don't have to do it and tick everyone off. The Jews basically, historically in the land, they were willing to coexist with Arabs. Half of Nazareth is Arab. The other half is Jewish. You can just draw a line right down the center. You know when you pass from one to the other. And they get along as neighbors. Yeah, they have distinct religion, distinct culture. They're all unbelievers, you know. But they have a distinct culture, different, you know. And, you know, we saw that in Israel. When the Arabs are having their Sabbath, or vice versa, the others take up the slack and do things that they won't do, be violate their code of activity on that particular day. Like drive taxis. So during the centuries of the Roman captivity, we'll still call it the Roman captivity, no people who occupied the Holy Land cultivated the soil or practiced reforestation. And that's a noteworthy thing. When the Jews, before they declared nationhood, something had to be going on there. You can't just walk in there one day and say, we're going to be a nation. It's like in our own country. We didn't just walk over here and declare ourselves a nation. People had to become established and organized and so they could form a government and declare nationhood. Only with the return of the early Jewish settlers did the land spring to life with crops, trees, and flora. It's like magic. We're here. Not the Gentiles can't work and make things look good, but they were frustrated all those centuries. Oh, we had the Crusades. What a joke. You talk about a bunch of misguided people. We're going to go win back the Holy Land from those heathen for God. What a fiasco. Yeah, you got a mandate from Scripture to do that, don't you? As the Jews languished in captivity, so the land languished for lack of a caretaker. That's noteworthy. It's a good land. Anybody could have come in there, theoretically, and made it look great and prospered from it. But they were always frustrated. Because God upholds His word. He's out there upholding it today. The Jews in Israel, they're in the right. They got their problems, not the least of which is Jesus Christ. They've got their problems. But the thing is, they hold the trump card, and that is, this land was promised to the Jewish race, not to the whoever's race. And this doesn't matter. It ticks people off, but the Abrahamic covenant makes this clear, and Abraham's rightful heir and descendant through Isaac and down the line. It's that simple. So people can bat like they do everything else. They can run their mouths and say things. Captivity, point 11, does not mean the destruction of the race. That can't happen. due to the priority of the unconditional covenants. That's what saves their bacon. Unconditional. You and I know that our salvation is unconditional. I'll give you salvation if. No. There's nothing you have to do after you are saved. Nothing. You can run amok, believe what you want to, act crazy, like a lot of Christians and believers do, deny the faith, even become a fill in the blank. I've had it from this church. They're supporting what? Yeah, they're out there. They're a gay rights activist. And you went to Maranatha Church. What this illustrates is how you have this spiritual brain drain when you get away from the truth and you start running amok. You don't think you'll buy in to the conventional stuff that's here, wokeism and all of its forms? Maybe not. But something stupid, something wrong. That's the danger of abandoning sound doctrine. See, there's the catch. If you never were on it, you might never fall for that. But you get away from it, and boom. The whole structure that you build up in your soul, like a nice building, it starts crumbling. Piece by piece. And things you would have never advocated on doctrine, you're now advocating. This is the way it goes. What you have will be taken away from you. If you abandon it, you won't be recognizable spiritually. So the covenants, the Mosaic covenant, that's the one we're focusing on as a conditional covenant. See, it's a conditional covenant. This is like post-salvation. It's conditional. You want this, then you got to do this. You got to be positive, you got to be on doctrine, you got to make these applications, and then you can get your crown and your rewards. So it's conditional on your volitional actions and application of doctrine. Well, if you cut that off, well, then you just stop at that point. And everything you did up to that point that was acceptable to God, you'll get a reward for it. So the unconditional covenants means that God can't cast Israel off. Now, there's a verse, I forgot where it was at. I got to look it up when I get in there. I should have it. Because we were talking about when we were dealing with the flat earth. It says, if you can measure the diameter, one end to the end of the earth, then I'll cast off Israel. Huh. It says man. You see? Oh, it's in Job. It's in Job. Yeah, it's in Job. I believe. Don't. No, it was to Job. Can you measure? That was to Job. And then this is another one. This is in like Ezekiel or something. I'm going to look it up. I'll try to remember to tell you it. You'll probably find it before I do when you get out of here. It does not mean the destruction of the race. Now, Satan comes along with whoever ideology, concept, we're going to wipe all the Jews off the face of the earth. Hamas isn't just happy. They want to kick them all out of their homeland and pursue them beyond that. Hamas also would like to kill off all Christians. Anything that's not ideological from this real extreme manifestation of the Allah cult. Not all of them who believe in Allah and all that, at least on the, don't say they want to exterminate everybody. But talk about a repressive culture. Iran's been taken running by these monsters, these Ayatollahs. I wouldn't have anything to do with them. I don't care what country I am. They're the financiers of these terrorist groups. Where do you think they get their stuff? A lot of it. It's from Iran. So they foster terrorism. Anyway, back to this. 26:44. Yet in spite of this, that other verse says the land will be abandoned. It's going to make for the Babylonian captivity. It's going to make up for its Sabbath. You never did keep the yearly Sabbath. You never faith rested that one. And the whole idea of a sabbatical year was you don't plant crops. You let the land recoup. It's like a human being. You can't be a workaholic and just keep pushing. You've got to have rest. Not just, you know, go to bed at night and get up. You've got to have rest. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them. Nor will I so abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. I made a covenant with their original ancestor, reiterated it to the second and third generations, and I'm going to stand by it. And let the whole world gang up on this and see what the hell it gets them. That's what's going to happen. You think Israel is surrounded now? Where do they get into the trib? Reports are coming out of the Gaza City by the military that we're seeing miracles down here on the ground. I wouldn't doubt it. Notice all the things God can throw at these people. Angels. Oh, you've had it. That happens. Angels, weather, earthquakes, sickness, bad decision making, and get yourself in a trap, and down you go. They owe it to those families and everybody that were butchered in there to take these people out. Find every last damn one of them and kill them off. Just completely dismount and get rid of all those tunnels and everything under the ground. There's ways to do it, I'm sure. No more of this. And yes, civilians are going to die, but they live with these people. A bunch of civilians are going to die in the United States, and they're going to worry about whether they're in hospitals or whether they're babies. Americans are told to get the hell out of Dodge. I didn't say it'd be convenient. Get out. That's the will of God for your life after the rapture. The Jews are getting stirred up all the more. They'll be glad to get out of here. But this wave of immigration is going to be based on they're saved. And that's a whole other message to drag into Israel with the rest of the Jews. We rejected our Messiah. They do not like to hear that. And there will be persecution of believing Jews once again in Israel. And Jesus gave the prescription how you handle it. You get thrown in, and you got to give your testimony tomorrow. Don't even spend any time premeditating a speech. You just go in there, and it'll all come to you. Excuse me. I read that. So this covenant takes priority. Jeremiah 30. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. For I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. Only I will not destroy you completely, but I will establish you justly. I will chasten you justly, and will by no means leave you unpunished. I'm assuming this is talking about the trib. The nations are going to be taken down. Their cities trashed. Not immediately, but as this thing rolls on. 33:20-26. Under doctrine, I never heard any of these things cited. Kind of curious. It was always, oh, they're in unbelief. It doesn't count. It does count. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus says the Lord, verse 19, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, so he'll not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levitical priests, my ministers. Anyway, all these messianic prophecies talking about the glory of Israel's future. I'll leave it there. Divine discipline pursues the Jews among the nations. I read those verses, essentially, so you know that. In other words, they're going to suffer out there. Not that we should be, and this is what some Christians did. They rejected Jesus. They're under God's wrath, so we can dump on them. You went too far. They are not a free target for you because they rejected Christ. Do good by them if you can. Give them the gospel. But some of these Christian denominations and groups, they went way too far with it. You deal with a Jew like you deal with anybody. Here's the Savior. Take it or leave it. Here are the consequences if you don't. That's all you got to do. If this offends you, too bad. I have a mandate, and that is to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ to those when I have opportunity and it's the right circumstances that I come across. Up to them. That's up to them. So, we'll stop here. I just want to let you know one other thing. The week of Thanksgiving, the Tuesday and Wednesday of that week, we'll not be having Bible class. That's the 21st and the 22nd. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.